The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
You know, Derek, I don't even know why we even decided to do a podcast this week because there's just nothing to talk about.
The stupid team isn't playing any basketball. We could be watching real games right now instead of talking about the Timberwolves doing nothing.
Yeah, there's just nothing going on. There's nothing to talk about. There's no rumors. There's no
Why is this team
reports.
So boring?
Yeah,
they just said this. It's just so bland. It's like eating a piece of stale bread with no water.
How are we going to have things to talk about this week?
Do we think they get the message yet?
Yeah.
We've been laying it on pretty thick.
Yeah. All right. I'm Manny Hill. That's Derek James. We're the Raised by Wolves podcast. This is episode 110 for us.
That's what happens.
Have we really done 110? Are we really doing our 110th?
Next week it'll be 111.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it is hard to believe, though, because I think this is the third or fourth season.
Third season.
Yeah.
Because the first when we
the first was
started,
a partial.
Yeah.
It was like when a TV show gets like the first season, they're like, oh, we'll give you 8 episodes. We're not sure if, you know, people are going to like this. And it's like 22. So
right. Because we've had 2 seasons with Tibbs, and our first season with me, you, and Steve was the Sam Mitchell season. After we lost Flip.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's 3 seasons, 110 episodes now. We've done quite a bit. Okay, lots to talk about with the Wolves. All sorts of
have things been worse.
I mean, it is really, really remarkable. And we've talked about this on the ride with Royce a lot. Myself, Royce, Reavers, we talked about just how it's amazing how you have a first playoff season in 14 years, and you win 47 games, 16 more than the season before, and there is like nothing for anybody to be happy about right now. That is astonishing to me. But at the same time, when you consider everything that we've heard and everything that we saw over the course of the season, like, you get it, like, you understand it. It's like, okay, yeah, this is good, and you don't want to overreact, and I'm like Mr. Let's not overreact on anything, but I get it. I kind of get it because it at times, you know, what we saw from this team this year was just maddening. Other times they look really good, and we're like, okay, we got something brewing. And then other times it's like, oh my gosh, like, come on, get it together. And I don't know. This is really, really strange for a team that just made the playoffs for the first time in almost a decade and a half.
And I don't think it's just the fan base being spoiled and the people following the team being spoiled. You looked at the talent on this team and, you know, just the way that they performed. I mean, you could tell like they were better than 47 wins, and 47 is a great improvement from 31 year over year. But it's just when you see what they could have been and just that little glimpse, and yeah, losing Jimmy sucked.
And the fact that they literally had to win on the last day of the regular season just to get into the playoffs. Like, that night was great, and it was fun, and it was the atmosphere at Target Center was great, and we all loved it, and it was great to see them win that game.
But even coming into that,
it shouldn't have come to that.
But even then, my attitude towards that game sucked, and that's probably just a me problem. But maybe I'm not alone here.
I'm willing to bet you're not alone.
Probably not. I think that the way this team played down the stretch, and the stupid games that they kicked away, not just while Jimmy was hurt, but before Jimmy was hurt, that they had no excuse to lose. They deserved to have to play for their playoff lives that night versus a team that may have been more deserving, that had, worked their tail off.
They earned the position that they were in on that last night of the regular season. And, you know, and to their credit, they got in. They won a game against the Rockets, which, you know, that game 3 was awesome. But you just, okay, you know, the Rockets dispatch of you in 5 games. And there's just so many question marks going into the offseason just about, you know, can Wiggins finally get it in gear? You know, is Jimmy Butler going to get extended? You know, is Belly going to be back? And now
all of that looks up in the air.
Right. All that's up in the air. And now, like, all of that has suddenly, just in the last week, has taken a backseat to all this chatter about Karl Anthony Towns and is he going to sign an extension and does he want to be traded and all the, I mean,
yes,
it is,
no.
It is, I, you know, and look, the, you know, I don't want to call myself an analyst because I'm a radio producer who loves basketball and loves talking about it. But that side of me says, come on, they're not going to trade Karl Anthony Towns. Like, that's just ridiculous. The idea of it is just ridiculous.
You know what this reminds me of?
But then at the same time, it's like, well, I don't know.
Are we assuming knowledge here that everyone knows what we're talking about by now? Brian Windhorst on the Zach Lowe podcast.
Yes.
And all he said was, you know, the Celtics wouldn't trade Kyrie Irving unless it really blew them away. But you know who they should talk to? Minnesota, because they are a mess in the front office. That was literally it. I mean, and then people jump to, wow, the Wolves are going to trade Towns. And it's like, no, that's not what he was saying. He was saying that's what it might be worth it for the Celtics to at least call and see right. what it would take. And maybe something comes of it, because you'd be dumb and foolish not to if it could actually happen. But this reminds me of the Kristaps Porzingis thing from last summer.
Right.
Phil Jackson saying, well, he wasn't at the exit interviews, so... You know, we need to start, you know, looking at other options. And then James Dolan came back from jamming with his blues band that nobody cares about or something and realized that Phil was probably going to screw up his team again and got rid of Phil. So yeah. I feel like the same thing would have kind of happened with Towns there. Is it with Glenn Taylor would come and be like, okay, well, I got to do something about this. I mean, what he already is going for me, his wife already doesn't like him apparently because of all the swearing and the yelling and the cursing.
Oh my gosh.
And we're not even like into all of it yet. And then
I know the season's not even over yet. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, we're still in the middle of the conference finals. We don't even know who's going to be in the finals yet. I mean, it's just,
and that's the least relevant thing to us.
Right. Right. Okay. So I'm going to play this clip from, Amin El-Hassan, who, of course, he's an NBA insider. He's worked in, a couple of different front offices in the NBA, I think. Most notably Phoenix.
For sure. Yeah.
Phoenix for sure. Yeah.
Oh, there might have been another one.
I think there might have been one other too. But he was on, I think this is from the Jalen Jacoby podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just play this
Not
clip.
Great.
And it's regarding Karl Anthony Towns.
The organization had just babied him beyond babying. And so Tibbs and Jimmy and these guys are coming in like, really? But you got a dude who's concerned about things that are not necessarily aligned with winning, right? Is that youth? Is that immaturity? Probably. But it's hard when it's been indoctrinated by the organization.
By the organization. So,
first off, what I love about the clip is the way he goes, probably.
Probably.
That's just the best.
Right. Yeah. So, here's if Amin were sitting right here, here's the question I would have for him.
I was hanging out with Jimmy and Tibbs.
Well, that's just kind of it. I guess my question for him would be, okay, do you know something that we don't, or are you just sort of going off of, like, you know, from what, you know, your days of working in the front office of, like, the Suns and just sort of what your take is on the entire situation from the outside?
I think it's both. I think that, you know, he is plugged in. He still probably has connections and talks to people. So he's probably heard that... Tibbs and Jimmy are probably annoyed by some of the things that Towns does or doesn't do.
Right.
And then drawing from his own experience at the end, they're saying, hey, those guys usually get traded unless the owner steps in and does something. And I think that's just, you know, speaking experientially. So I don't think that's him reporting anything in that sense. But it really does seem like Jimmy and Tibbs are, you know, leaking stuff to the media to smear Kat, which is weird.
Very weird. If that is the case, like...
That's the way it seems, right? I don't know how to interpret
this. It
does
seem that way. I mean, I don't want to assume that that's exactly what's happening, but if that were to be the case, like, that's really weird, and I'm not sure how I feel about that in particular, but I, you know, and now we've got, you know, we got the rumors, you know, Devin Booker posted on his Instagram, like, a picture of Kat in, like, a Phoenix Sun, a Devin
which
Booker
is an
jersey.
Older one.
It's from like 3 years ago,
right?
Or 2 or 3 years ago, which, you know, and look, Devin Booker and Kat, they're college teammates at Kentucky. And so
all those Kentucky guys are friends because there's like 39 NBA players from Kentucky right now.
Right. So, So yeah, I mean, so now, you know, so now we got, oh, it was Cat, you know, are the Suns going to trade, you know, trade Cat? First of all, with the coach that the Suns hired, Igor, how do you say it? It's Kokachev, I think they call it.
I could probably pronounce it if I saw it, but I don't have it right in front of me.
And he came from Quinn Snyder's staff in Utah, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yep.
So, and
he skipped the line, Manny. Skipped the line, whatever that means.
So, you know, and so there's rumors that the Suns are going to take, you know, Luka Doncic with the number one pick because of the, you know, European connection with Kokachev and all of that. I just don't, you know, the rumors, the Suns' rumors and all that, I mean, they're just rumors, and I don't really buy them anyway.
My favorite right now, though, is that we're already seeing, like, oh, no, they wouldn't be interested in that guy. Like, oh, are you just trying to create a bidding war below you for no reason or what?
Yeah. So, anyway. I mean, you know, so you got all these rumors out, and it's just, to me, I look at it like this. Imagine yourself being Glenn Taylor, okay? And you've got an issue with your head coach slash president of basketball operations who makes all the personnel decisions, him and Scott Layden, and your superstar big man who just had who's been terrific for you since day one, finally made an all-star team this year, is in line to get a max contract extension. Imagine if you're Glenn Taylor and you're looking at those two guys not getting along right now, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is an easy decision, right?
Well, Woj said as much, too, that like, the Wolves would choose Towns over Tibbs, which you wouldn't think we would need reported.
Right. You that's a no-brainer to me. Like, all due respect to Tom Thibodeau, I'm sorry. Carl Anthony Towns is
Am I
the
choosing
guy.
The 22-year-old like, once-in-a-generation superstar or the 60-year-old basketball coach with outdated schemes? I think I know who I'm picking there.
But unfortunately, because of the history of the franchise,
we're like, do that thing?
I don't know. Like, people are scared. People are like, come on, like, this can't be serious. So, I don't know.
And I just think it's interesting, too, because Zach Lowe also said in the same podcast he doesn't know anything, but he just gets a sense that something big is going to happen this summer, and I'll be really curious to see what that is.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a million things. I mean, that would be very interesting. I don't know if the Wolves will do anything huge this summer because I don't know if they really have. The only thing I could think of that they could do that would be huge would be if they decided to trade Karl Anthony Towns, which I don't think anybody really believes that that's going to happen. I mean, you could say
they I think trading a starter would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think if, you know, because there's talk, okay, well, they trade Wiggins and, you know, and Dane Moore from Zone Coverage, he wrote out a great piece the other day about,
imagine, you know, just, for a spreadsheet.
Just how, yeah, please do, just how difficult it will be for the Wolves to move Wiggins. Like, it's not just, and I've said just as much, like, this is not, Wiggins' contract is what it is. It's not this is not the NFL. You can't just say that guy's due to make a lot of money. He's underperforming, so we'll just cut him and send him on his way, and we'll get a bunch of cap space back. Like, it does not work. Like, the NFL is the only league of the, you know, of the major sports. That's the only league where you can do that. Where you can just say, well, this guy is supposed to, he's due to make $18 million this year, but only three of it's guaranteed, so we'll just cut him and save $15 million. Like, it doesn't work like that. So you can't just dump Andrew Wiggins' contract because he hasn't developed the way you want him to develop, and you just want to get rid of that money. Like, you got to convince somebody to say, to take it. And the team, if you're going to trade Andrew Wiggins, the team that you're trading him to has to be willing to take on that sort of investment. That's a lot of money.
Wait, you just can't override the trade like in 2K? What kind of crap is this?
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River.
Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Now, one question, and this might be jumping the shark a little bit.
Okay.
How would you feel about them letting go of Thibodeau, but also either trading or not re-signing Jimmy? With all the turmoil that's seemingly happening, I mean, it just seems like this stuff follows both parties everywhere.
I think if that...
And I love Jimmy.
If that happens, I love Jimmy too. He's one of my favorite players in the league and has been for, not just because he's been here for the last year, but he's, for the last probably 4 years, he's probably been one of my favorite players in the NBA. I think you are essentially hitting the reset button. And you're saying, okay, if you let go of Tibbs and then you trade Jimmy Butler, because if you let go of Tibbs, the likelihood of Jimmy Butler wanting to resign with you is probably decreased significantly.
Yeah.
I mean, you never say never, but you just, on the surface, you just think, yeah, it's probably not likely Jimmy's going to want to come, you know, sign a long-term deal here. But you're essentially hitting the reset button with Wiggins and Towns, and I mean,
but what's the alternative? I mean, then
what's
the
alternative?
Then you're paying all that to Wiggins as well, and then you'll have Jimmy Butler going into his not just early 30s, but his mid 30s as well, with a lot of money,
with a 35
knowing that he's going to miss 15 to 20 games a year. I mean, that contract might be harder to trade than Andrew Wiggins, to be honest. At least a team could probably talk themselves into Wiggins still. Say, oh, maybe we could get something out of him. Maybe this could be okay. But someone's going to look at Jimmy Butler and be like, almost $30 million for a guy with knee issues and on the wrong side of 30? I think we'll pass.
See, and my next sort of thought was going to be like, would Jimmy sign like a 1-1 type of deal, like what LeBron and Durant have been doing the last couple of years? But I don't know, if you're Jimmy, you probably want a little more security than that, right?
Well, knowing just, you know, the kind of injuries that he's had, and do you really want to hit the market again when you're 31? Are you really going to get that next big payday? I mean, not like we're expecting another cap spike like what we had a couple summers ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun stuff.
That's amazing. All right. So we put out a little while ago, we put out a flyer for...
I just can't believe they all weren't the same question.
Yeah, I actually thought everything was going to be surrounding like all this Towns chatter that we've had from like the last week. But
by the way, I almost deleted that tweet when I put the quote up just because it kept getting all this traction and people kept talking about trading Towns. And I'm like, that's not what was said. Nobody said that. Like I wrote them like, this is not a report. It was just his idea. And it's like, well, yeah, I kind of don't say it unless you want, you know, people to freak out and aggregate it as you will.
Right.
But
okay.
He's not reporting.
All right. So first one is from our guy, Anthony Irwin, who we had on a few weeks ago. He's
going to be sworn enemy of the podcast as soon as we finish reading this.
He's just screwing with us, and this is just very, very cruel of him. Anthony says, may I interest you in a partially used Luol Deng? Okay, first of all, Luol Deng is not, you know, and he's, Anthony's having
fun
with
us. When I was in the car business, we would have called him a mechanic special.
A lemon. Like, total. If we were talking about vehicles here, Luol Deng is totaled, okay? Luol Deng is done. 2 years ago, when Tibbs first got here and Luol Deng was a free agent, I was open to the idea, okay, bring in Luol for, you know, a decent, you know, contract to be kind of a rotation veteran guy. Because at that time, we were thinking, okay, the Wolves, you know, they're so young and they need more veteran guys. And Luol Deng, you know, okay, he played for Tibbs in Chicago. That'd be a nice fit and everything. But Lakers went and gave him that money,
It's like putting a sugar cube in water.
Yeah, and he has been a absolute non-factor with the Lakers, and he's on the books for another 2 years at $17-18 million per year. But it's one of those deals where you know, if the Lakers were to like buy out Luol Deng this summer, which is a lot of money to buy somebody out at
or a stretch or anything
or whatever it is, you know Tom Thibodeau's not going to be able to help himself. If Luol Deng gets bought out and becomes a free agent, you could sign him for the veteran minimum, you know Tom Thibodeau's not going to be able to help himself.
Oh, no. I feel the same way about Noah.
Yeah.
Or if the Knicks just called and said, hey, yeah, have you talked to him and Joe Kim lately? He misses you. Like that OKC pick would be gone. Just like
right.
That.
Exactly.
I'm also not reporting that. Please don't aggregate me. It will aggravate me if you aggregate me.
Mike, aka M on Twitter, says, what chance does Belly have of coming back? Well, I mean, the Wolves are in a little bit of a pickle with the luxury tax. They're really, really close to the luxury tax, just with the eight guys that they have under contract for next year. So if you bring Belly back, what would his qualifying, because he's a restricted free agent, right? What would his qualifying?
Would you like me to look it up?
Yeah.
Think it's too late.
Is it too late?
I think it is. I think that had
to be like
in
pick it up
by like Halloween or something.
Okay.
Maybe not. Nah,
but I mean, they're
keep talking.
Just with the eight guys that they have. I think it's eight guys under contract for next year. And that includes Jamal Crawford apparently opting out. I mean, they're already really, really close to the luxury tax because you got Wiggins' contract kicking in. You know, the new Wiggins contract kicking in. You got Taj at 14. Gorgie's going to make, what, 17 next year?
15, 16, somewhere 15, 16. Not quite 17.
You got Jimmy at 19 or 20. You got Teague at 19.
Okay, so Bielitsa will carry a cap hit of $7.5 million. The qualifying offer is 4.9.
Okay. So the $7 million would be the cap hold?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 7.5, actually.
Okay. So, I mean, it would depend. I think it would just depend on if somebody swoops in and, you know, Belly, when he played, went keyword, you know, key term here, when he played, when Tibbs actually played him, Belly played pretty well. He had a nice year. His numbers weren't terrible. I mean, he shot a good percentage from three. You know, when Butler went down and Belly was inserted into the starting lineup, he had some really, really good performances.
He's been pretty up or down, but I'm comfortable to this point with the second up, just the way that he looked last year.
Yeah.
That this is closer to who he is than the player that we saw last season.
Right. And so, I mean, but at the same time, he's what? I think he turns 30 this year, if he hasn't already.
Yeah.
So there is that too. I mean, was somebody going to swoop in and give him, you know, 3 and 24 or something like? I don't know what you know. What
that would
the
almost be a gift
for
the
be.
Wolves if it was just 3 and 24.
Yeah, I mean, so that's something that they would have to think about. Like if somebody swoops in with a 3-year, $24 million offer sheet and the Wolves decide to match it, they would have to. I mean, they would have to think hard about that. I think just because of how close they are to the luxury tax. And then you've, on top of that, you've got a Towns extension that you have to figure out. You got a Jimmy Butler extension that you have to figure out. You got a Tyus Jones extension that you have to make a decision on if you're going to, you know, because Tyus is on the same rookie clock as Karl Anthony Towns. He's due for a new deal just like Towns is. So I don't know. That's
well, if you pay Belly more, you absolutely can't keep Jang then, right? And that's
yeah,
bad.
You'd have to move Gorgie.
Unless you want to pay the luxury tax
yeah,
on that.
Because if you bring Belly back, you're going into the luxury tax.
Easily.
So that's going to come down to, is Glenn Taylor going to be willing to pay into the luxury tax? You know, and are you going to bring Belly back?
Because that
at that point, you're once you get into the luxury tax, man, you're pretty much handcuffed. Like, you're pretty much saying, we're bringing back, unless we trade some guys, we're bringing back the exact same roster.
It was like the Clippers a couple years ago, and they couldn't add any wing depth, and they kept running it back. They kept losing in the second round. They had to run it back.
Yeah.
Until they, you know, Chris Paul asked for out, and then that was really the opportunity to move in a different direction finally?
Am I know we didn't really answer your question there. Like, what chance does Belly have of coming back? I think there's a decent chance.
Probably it depends on the money.
Yeah, I think it would depend on the money. Yeah.
But I don't know that Belly really wants to be back. Like, that's just the sense I get. I don't know anything. I'm not reporting anything, but that's just the sense that I get. It seems like a guy who wants to play more, or at least more consistently than what he has been. And I don't know that for two seasons he fully trusts Tibbs to do that.
Jake Olsonowski, a very loyal listener, contributes questions for
us. He listens to no other podcast. He's so loyal.
He says, if it comes down to it, do you think Taylor would fire Tibbs if he followed through on trading Cole? Also, do we have max cap space for Butler, Wiggins, Towns, and Rose? I mean,
not for Rose. Wait, no. They don't have his bird rights.
I mean, well, here's the thing with cap space. I mean, the Wolves don't have any cap space. They don't have any cap space.
You can go over to re-sign your own guys.
Right, you can go over to re-sign your own guys, you know, if you've got, you know, the whole bird rights thing and everything, the little rules that the league put in to try and get guys to, you know, be able to stay with
I feel like the Rose part was a joke.
Right, yeah, I think it was. But, yeah, I mean, the issue isn't so much, will they have cap space? The Wolves don't have any cap space.
Is
but
they
the can,
willingness?
But the biggest thing is the luxury tax. Like, if you extend Towns and you extend Butler with the roster as it is right now with Deng and Teague and Taj, they're going over the luxury tax. Now, Taj is only signed for one more year. Teague is technically signed for 2 years, but the second year is a player option. So the bottom line is, if depending on what they do this summer, they're going to be in the luxury tax. Like, if they don't really do anything, if they just sign a couple guys to the veteran minimum, then there might be a way for them to avoid the luxury tax, but they'd be like right up on it. But otherwise, they're looking at going to the luxury tax this summer unless they move a Deng or a Taj or...
Say Deng or Jang.
I said Deng, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant Jang. I meant Gorgui. Not Luol Deng.
I knew what you meant, but I want to make sure everyone else knew what you
right,
meant.
Right. Yeah, because I don't want anybody listening thinking, they got Luol Deng already? No, they don't. So, yeah, I mean, their money is tied up, man. So they've got to get really, really – they need some serious improvements, and there's only a couple of options for them to really get those improvements.
See, I think in an ideal scenario, and I'm sure we'll get more into this later, Justin Patton contributes next year.
Yeah.
You draft
well.
They
need him to contribute so badly.
And you actually utilize the G League teams. Otherwise, you know, like best case scenario, you max out all those guys that are aforementioned.
Yeah.
And you're the Wild losing in the first or second round every single year.
Jake says, do you think Rodney Hood or Ian Clark will be looked at with the mid-level exception?
Well, neither of those guys really do anything for me.
Well, I was just going to say, considering how Rodney Hood has played lately, I mean, you could probably have him for cheap.
I guess he didn't. There was a game where Ty Lue asked him to go in and he flat out refused. But I don't know if there might be like some anxiety stuff there. There's some stuff with Rodney Hood going back, I guess.
And it's really
that
weird.
That have to be worked through. Because he's a talent, of
yes,
course. But
he's a talent and he kind of fits a need. I mean, he's a good shooter. I'd like to think he's a capable defender. I mean, he's a wing. They need a wing who can shoot and guard people.
But there's just been a lot of weird attitude stuff with him, too. And I don't know if you want to put him in the same locker room as like Jimmy, what's already going on?
And it's weird because it was interesting to me, like, why? Because he was good in Utah.
Utah didn't have to let him walk.
Right, and that's what was interesting to me when they traded him.
They didn't need to take on Derrick Rose just to keep Jay Crowder.
Right, because I'm thinking, you know, why would Utah, you know, Rodney Hood, he's having a good year for them. Why would they get rid of him?
He was averaging almost 20 points a game, wasn't he?
I think like 15, 14.
He was pretty darn good.
Yeah, he was playing really well for Utah, but they just decided they didn't want him anymore. He goes to Cleveland, and he's just disappeared with the Cavs. He can't even really get consistently into Ty Lue's playoff rotation.
To be fair, I don't think Ty Lue knows what he's doing, which I didn't expect to be saying for a coach that already has a championship.
Oh, my gosh.
He has no clue what he's doing.
That comment after game 5 last night. Like,
oh my gosh, he's guessing.
Yeah,
he just has to be guessing.
We didn't bring Korver in because since the Celtics didn't play Semi Ojeleye, like, you know, they threw us for a loop. Like, what?
Someone made the comment like, you were thrown off because they didn't play their 10th best player. Which is just amazing. And then I looked up Ian Clark's numbers. So I'm like, oh, he was okay in Golden State. His numbers plummeted as soon as he got away from the Warriors.
That's what's interesting. Is like, and that speaks to the Warriors, obviously.
Everywhere else, he has not been able to shoot.
Like, that speaks to the Warriors and Utah. Like, that speaks to what Utah has going right now. Because, you know, okay, Jay Crowder has a nice season in Boston. He gets traded to Cleveland.
Garbage.
Terrible with the Cavs. Gets traded to Utah, and all of a sudden, I mean, he's contributing again on a playoff team, and he's playing well. And just, you know, Rodney Hood's playing well for the Jazz. He gets traded to Cleveland. He disappears. Like,
I just think that, not that the Pelicans, you know, had a dearth of shooters by any means, but getting away from, I think, the gravity that the Warrior shooters creates is such a difference too.
Yeah.
In terms of how much spacing, how much attention teams pay to you. Because honestly, if I'm in a defending team and if I have to choose between Ian Clark, Klay Thompson, or Steph Curry, or Draymond, I'm going to leave Ian Clark alone out of those three or four. Like, that's just what I can live with.
Right. Jacob says, do you know if Tibbs would be able to trade himself? I doubt it would happen, but it would be hilarious.
I don't think he can. I don't know for sure.
We do know coaches can be traded because we've seen it. I mean, John Gruden was traded.
Who negotiates those trades?
I guess general managers, right?
Wouldn't it be hilarious, like, Tibbs was running around Mayo Clinic Square, like, I gotta ask the coach. Okay, he'll waive his no trade clause.
I gotta ask myself if I want to get traded.
Do I want cash considerations?
Didn't Doc Rivers technically get
traded?
Yeah,
he got traded from Boston to the Clippers. And okay, there was another one before that, too.
Okay. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I guess they're just contracts. I mean, you can do whatever you
want.
I want to see an assistant get traded. How fun would that be?
That would be interesting. Tyler says, how did Justin Patton's injury alter his ceiling as a prospect?
Tyler, was it?
Tyler, yeah.
I have no idea, Tyler, because Tibbs won't play him.
Now he looks fine.
Now he had the foot.
He was it like a foot fracture or something last summer.
Yeah.
And did we know how that happened? Did he just like slip?
Landed weird or something.
Okay.
So it was at least a contact thing and not just like a physical.
Yeah. So he was out for first couple months of the season, and then he was playing in Iowa. And from what I understand, he was doing fairly well down there. Here's my thing on Justin Patton, and here's what I'm worried about. So he's got this new foot operation that he just had to have at the end of the season. And he's 7 feet tall, and I always worry like crazy with 7-footers and foot injuries, because this is the second sort of foot surgery procedure, or whatever they want to call it. This is the second one in a year that he's had to have.
And each surgery takes something away from you.
Right. And the issue is that, look, you need to get something out of him. I've been saying this for weeks. Like, when you've spent as much money up to the cap and over the cap as the Wolves have now,
and stunted the development of Gorgui Dieng and Nemanja Bjelica,
you've got to start these draft picks that you have now. You've got to start turning them into something, whether it's trading them or, you know, using the player that you drafted that pick with. Like, this, I keep saying, this Oklahoma City pick, this 20th pick that they got for Ricky Rubio, you've got to turn that into something. At this point, you have wing depth issues, you have three-point shooting issues that you need.
And kind of a front court money management problem, too.
Right. Like, you've got to hit on this Oklahoma City pick. You got to hit on it. And Justin Patton. They need Justin Patton to turn into something. You got him in. He came over in the Jimmy Butler trade because he was the 16th pick. Came over with Jimmy Butler. You drafted him with that 16th pick. You gave up two young players and another draft pick to get Jimmy Butler and what ended up being Justin Patton. You got to turn Justin Patton into something. Does he need to be Karl Anthony Towns? No.
You just need another guy.
He needs to contribute. He needs to contribute. And he needs to contribute next year. Like, you got to get something out of him just because you don't have any more money to just go and sign whoever you want. You got the mid-level and all of that, but you got to. This is how the Warriors have gotten good. You know, even before they got
Kevon Looney getting something out of James Michael McAdoo, who started freaking Game 7, I think.
Or for God's sakes, Draymond Green was a second-round pick.
Quinn Cook.
I'm not saying that Justin Patton has to be Draymond Green, okay? That happens once in a blue moon where you get a guy in the second round and he turns into as good a player as Draymond Green has turned himself into, okay? I'm not saying he has to be Draymond Green, but he's got to be something. He was the 16th pick. You need him to be something. He has to contribute.
And you just like look at his skills, even in that little bit of garbage time he played in, he was active, and it's like that's going to create problems for teams too, because someone's going to fall asleep like, I'm tired of chasing this guy.
But Tibbs whatever. First and foremost, you got to get him healthy. But then, if and when you can get him healthy, Tibbs has got it. He's got to develop him. And this is the issue that we have sort of started to see now with Tom Thibodeau is the development of young players has not been there.
No.
Andrew Wiggins is incredibly talented, but he has regressed offensively. Part of that is obviously on him, but the other part of that is on Tom Thibodeau. You got to develop these guys.
Here's the thing with Tom Thibodeau that I've kind of realized. This is the way that it seems that we're trending. Whatever, they just don't get out on day one, so I'm going to go get someone who will. Enter Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson. I like Butler and Gibson.
Yes.
Even Aaron Brooks is a third point guard. Whatever. Great. Yeah. Have him out there on garbage time with the kids. I don't care. At least he knows what to do and where to be. But it's like you're just not, it doesn't seem like he's trying to teach them how to fill those roles, and instead it's just getting the actual prototype, the mold for the role that he's looking for. And it's like, that player existed, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. My friend Jen, we all know her as Tyus Jones Stan.
Or whatever it is this week.
Yeah, right.
Jen, though.
Right. She changes her Twitter name often. But her question, she's the biggest Tyus Jones fan on the planet. She's awesome. She goes, does Tibbs trade Tyus Jones? And I think this is actually a really, really good question. Not that I doubt Jen's ability to ask good questions. I mean, she does ask good questions. But this is a bigger question than I think a lot of people might initially think, because they think Tyus Jones, backup point guard, whatever. But
how fast would you delete the Twitter app off your phone? This happened.
If Tyus got traded?
Yeah.
I should ask her that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because here's the thing. Tyus is on the same rookie timeline as Karl Anthony Towns. So Towns, you can sign Towns to an extension this summer, and Tyus is on the same timeline, so he's eligible to sign for an extension. Obviously, we're talking about two different caliber of players here, but you know, that's something to think about, because if it were me, and I told you this before we started recording, if it were me, I would try and work out a deal for Tyus to stick around, because I think he's a really solid player. Whenever he's been out there, he's done well. He's gotten better. I think he's a really steady player. I don't think he'll ever really be a starting point guard for anybody in the NBA.
But that's the thing. Like, his worst case, solid backup point guard.
Solid backup point guard. And I think he has filled that role, for the most part, filled that role very admirably. And he's done a very nice job whenever he's been called on. Even though it hasn't always been, his number hasn't always been consistently called, he's done a nice job. And so if it were me, if it were up to me, I would you know, I don't think it would be on the same imminent timeline as a Karl Anthony Towns, but yeah, I would be interested in keeping Tyus Jones around just because of, you know, he's a steady guy. He's been here for a couple of years now, and
the question is,
you need backup point guards.
That's not the question.
But that's not the question. The question is Tibbs going to trade him? And I will say this. It would not surprise me if he did.
No.
It would not surprise me in the slightest if he did. Because, like I said, if it were up to me, I would find a way to keep Tyus Jones around for more years.
Unless you're like, really? You're going to give me that for Tyus? I would do it, but...
But the thing of it is Tom Thibodeau, I think, has a different view on this team going forward than a lot of us do. So, you know, I tend to think that... I don't think... I'll say this. I don't think Tibbs will just give him away.
No.
I don't think Tibbs will give him away. I think Tibbs needs to play him more. I wish Tibbs would have played him more during the course of the season, especially on nights when Teague really struggled. But, you know, I don't think Tibbs would just give him away. But for the right deal, I think he would do it.
I mean, Tyus is...
And it would depend on the deal, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't think...
I don't think you just give him away. Obviously.
How many players on this team are and should be off limits right now?
Towns?
That's probably the end of the list, right?
Yeah, probably Towns.
Because, I mean, I think someone calls and on Jimmy, you listen.
Here we are worried about rumors that the one guy that should be off limits might actually be on limits.
Right. Oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think something is going to happen this summer. I don't know how big. I know Zach Lowe said that he has a sense that something really crazy could happen. I don't know if it's going to be franchise altering, but I tend to think one of the starters is going to get moved. And I don't think Towns is going to get moved. I don't think Butler is going to get moved because I don't think Tibbs is not going to trade his guy, and Jimmy is his guy. So
I think they both have to go. Would be sorry, right. That's dumb. So Tibbs would have to go, and then Jimmy would be like, all right, well, I'm done with this.
Right. So I think you're probably – so that leaves Taj, Wiggins, and Teague in terms – I'm just talking starters here – as guys that could move or be moved. I mean, I think Wiggins is going to be really hard to trade. You know, Teague, you might be able to get something for Teague. Because, you know, he had a pretty good year. And he doesn't have a long contract. There's only 2 years left on it.
No, it's a nice, I think, player and team-friendly deal, too.
Right. So.
But what are you going to have instead of Teague?
Right.
The idea of just Tyus as your starting point guard makes me nervous.
That's the issue, is that if you do trade Teague, you're going to have to go get another point guard. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, and that would depend on if you move Teague and what you get back for him too. But I just, there's a lot of things that need to be talked about, worked out, and there's some decisions that need to be made because there's a lot of money invested in the roster. There's a lot of money invested in individual players.
This is suddenly high stakes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, we got reports of and rumors of guys not getting along and you know, and Tibbs not, you know, having a great relationship with certain players. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be ironed out, hashed out, whatever cliche terminology you want to use. But there's some conversations that need to be had. There's some decisions that need to be made. And we'll see how things go. So, but hey, the Lynx season has started.
Yeah, that's at least good. Well, they're 1-1, but you lose at the buzzer to the Sparks, and I don't think you can be upset about
that. How good is that rivalry right now?
It's a coin flip every single game.
Oh my gosh, it's just that is
Could you imagine betting those games?
That is, I mean, you know, the WNBA has, I think the overall product has really improved over the last handful of years. And that rivalry with the Lynx and the Sparks has just been golden for that league. It is exactly what that league needs, and it's exactly what that league deserves. And it's awesome. And it's fun. It's fun to be, you know.
I mean, viewership up almost 40%.
It's fantastic.
I mean, just to see that kind of growth in people starting to say, okay, all right, I'll take it. It's only been 20 years.
Yeah.
And with a lot of, and along the way, there have been significant contributors to women's basketball all along the way. And I mean, just like the men's game, it's evolved, and it's the product right now is just so good. And I mean, even like a game like last night when the Dallas Wings missed so many shots.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was the Lynx and their defense. But there's so much talent on that team, and they didn't have Gloria Jones too. So they were shorthanded. And they still came back to within six, and they were doubled up at one point. They were down by like 24 or something like that.
Right.
At half. It was nuts.
It's amazing to me how, I mean, obviously there's a lot of talent with the Lynx, but you know, they're an older team now. They're kind of an aging team now, and you know, everybody's, you know, Lindsay's in her 30s, and you know,
Lindsay's 35, I think, almost 36.
Lindsay just had a birthday, if I'm not mistaken,
she 36?
Like last month. I think she's 36 now. And, you know, Simone's, you know, in her early
30s. She's been around 14 years.
I think Maya turns 30
next year.
Yeah, so.
Well, they got Danielle Robinson. Team. They hope to get a little more from Alexis Jones in the backcourt to set that up. I mean, how crazy is that? They just flipped their first round pick and go, can we have Danielle Robinson, former all-star point guard, to bring off the bench? Like, what kind of life is that? And then you still have Sylvia Fowles, who, with the way she plays, I think she could play well into her mid-30s. I'm not worried about her being, 31, 32?
Right. But I just think it's amazing that Cheryl Reeve, the job that they've done of keeping this core together, and despite the fact that, you know, because people always talk about when players get older, they start to decline and all of that. But the fact that they've been able to sustain this excellence, this level of excellence, despite the fact that they have players that are getting a little bit older now and getting closer to, you know, maybe the end of their careers, you know, and I know they probably don't want to speak on that too much, but it's a tribute to them, obviously, for maintaining this level of excellence. And Cheryl Reeve, the leadership there is fantastic. And can't say enough.
And that's really kind of the intriguing thing, is they get a year older, the league gets a year wiser.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sparks are still stronger with Agumake and Candace Parker.
Chelsea Gray, been a thorn in the Lynx side.
You know what's crazy about that is that they lost Chrissy Tolliver to Washington last season, mm-hmm. and they still went to the finals, and they were still neck and neck with the Lynx. Like, that's just nuts.
Awesome.
And I mean, the Mystics are another team that I'm really interested in seeing, because they had such a weird year. Emma Mieseman was hurt the entire year. No, she wasn't hurt. She was playing for her country, and then she came back. And then they just had injuries. Chrissy Tolliver couldn't hit threes anymore. And so seeing this team together finally and not having weird stuff happen would be really interesting.
Yeah. So shout out to the Lynx. Their season is underway, a couple games in. We're going to be talking some more Lynx this summer, I think. Gonna get some guests on, some Lynx related guests on as well. All right, that's gonna do it for us this week. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy your Lynx basketball.
Yes, for sure. Thanks for
Friday against the Liberty and Tina Charles.
Check it out. Thanks to everybody who contributed questions this week. Thanks for listening. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast at iTunes, podcast1.com, 1500ESPN.com. For Derek James, I'm Manny Hill. Like Derek said, enjoy your Lynx basketball, and we'll talk to you next week.